This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Good reach there on Lindgren by Thompson. Out of the corner, Thompson with it. Goal line to the front of the net. Scores! Paige Thompson! Full beast mode in TNT. Puts the Buffalo Sabres up 3-0.
Up 3-0 at the time. 8-2 is the final. The Sabres throttle the Blue Shirts tonight in the first game out of the Four Nations break. Thanks for joining us on the post-game show. I'm Pat Malacaro. The Sabres with a 6-goal victory over the Rangers tonight. And with Tage Thompson's 27th of the season, he would add one later on as well. But his 27th year is the goal of the game. Brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. The Sabres, with that goal there, had a 3-0 lead at the time. After 20 minutes, Buffalo led 5-0. Thompson, 3 points in the night, a couple of goals and an assist. Rasmus Dahlin, also with 3 points tonight. Same with Jason Zucker, who ends up with 3 assists as well. Zucker, good to see him back on the ice after blocking a shot and leaving the game early in the third period, would come back and in the final couple of minutes for the Sabres in that victory as well. So the Sabres had a 5-0 lead after one. The Rangers narrowed the gap to 3 goals after 2 periods. A couple of tallies in the middle stanza for the Blue Shirts. And the Sabres in the third. Thompson, Ryan McLeod with his second. And then Henry Okiharju, the capper, with less than a minute to go in the game, put the final touches on Buffalo's 8-2 victory tonight. Again, I'm Pat Malacaro on the Buffalo Sabres post-game show. We'll head downstairs in just a couple of moments. Our Paul Hamilton is heading to the locker room to get reaction from the players. As we mentioned, the Sabres had 2 weeks off, as did the rest of the league. We expected high-flying action at both ends tonight. The Sabres, a team that did not make many mistakes. There were a couple of power play chances for the Rangers, especially in the third period. The Sabres killing off both of those penalties to Zach Benson. But relatively speaking, a mistake-free game for the Sabres tonight, something that I'm sure pleases head coach Lindy Ruff. Not only did the Sabres score those 8 goals, but for the most part, playing a clean 60 minutes as well. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen back in goal for the Sabres tonight, making 26 saves. Just those 2 goals in the second period allowed 8 shots in the first, 10 in the second, 10 more in the third as well. Luukkonen picks up the victory for the Sabres. Buffalo, for the second time of the season, chasing Igor Shesterkin, gave up those 5 goals in the opening stanza on 16 shots. Jonathan Quick took over, and it was the second goal of the night for Tage Thompson, one that Quick would want back, that really put the momentum back on the side of the Sabres early in the third period, and they would not look back. You know, something the Sabres have had trouble with after big leads at times this year, other teams able to get a couple of goals to creep back in, and then that third, fourth goal, whatever it was, would eventually come through for the other team. And this time, a big save late in the second period by Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, followed by the goal by Thompson early in the third. That really helped solidify things for Buffalo. And again, McLeod and Okiharju would add to the tally as well for the Sabres in the victory. For Igor Shesterkin, 11 saves on 16 shots. Jonathan Quick facing 17 shots overall, made 14 saves. The Sabres finishing with 33 shots overall in the game. Buffalo out shooting the Rangers 33-28. Those are your stats of the game brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Don't forget, we want to hear from you tonight as well, as we want to get connected with the fans, powered by Verizon. Get your local Verizon store today. You can send me a tweet at PatWGR, or you can reach us at 716-803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, and can react to the Sabres' six-goal victory over the Rangers, a team that had been struggling to find consistency themselves. New York found themselves in a spot to potentially go to the Stanley Cup last year and really should have been in a spot to contend again this year. But outside of the top eight in the Eastern Conference, the Sabres in the basement of the East. But as we heard from Paul Hamilton pregame tonight, Lindy Ruff preaching five-game segments for the Sabres. The final stretch of the year, 28 games, including tonight. If you take five-game segments, that's 25 games. If the Sabres could play 700 hockey, getting 7 out of 10 points in those five-game segments in each, you give yourself a chance to at least get around the 90-point mark come the final week of the season. The Sabres have a chance to do that as they pick up the victory here tonight over New York. And again, coming out firing in all cylinders right from the start, it was Jack Quinn getting the offense going for Buffalo, his 10th of the season. He could be a key to Buffalo's potential second-half success. Gets his 10th goal of the year. You remember that slow start for Quinn. Really had trouble getting going, whether it be injuries, working back from a couple of issues that kept him off the ice for a lot of last season. Well, now we're starting to see Quinn really starting to pick up his game a little bit. It was a little bit of a fan on the shot that Shesterkin maybe was going to play one way, but because Quinn fan on the shot, he scores. And Rasmus Dahlin also had a couple of goals, and he's with our Paul Hamilton.
Right. 5 goals. What'd you like about the way you started the game there?
Unreal. We know the second half is important for us, and this is how we want to play every night. We just got to continue to build on this.
Whether it was offensively or defensively, it seemed like you guys were doing such a good job of killing plays to start with. It was feeding your offense to come up. Was it just the whole game was going very well in the first period, whether it was offense or defense?
We were aggressive. We came out flying, honestly. All the D's had good gaps, and we had poise with the puck. That's kind of how everything started, and then we just continued to play good. They pushed back a little bit in the second one, but we just kept our poise and just worked through the game.
Do you guys want to establish some physicality early in this one and just let them know that you guys are here to play?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this now the second half of the season is very important for us. We see every game as a playoff game, so that's how we have to play to win games.
The puck is now going in the net for you. You've got, if you count Sweden, you've got 4 goals in 3 games now. You were getting assists before. You were like second in the league with 21 assists, but the puck wasn't going in for you. Is it anything different that the puck is starting to go in for you?
I've been working through some nagging injury. I wasn't able to really shoot it. Mm-hmm. Let's blame it on that.
And you are able to now?
Yeah.
In what ways does Jordan Greenway affect the lineup when he's back?
Unbelievable. You saw that first goal. It was him just being strong on the puck. And, you know, their D's really respect him too in the forecheck. So he's unbelievable for us. He's been missing for sure. For sure. That's how it is right now. Everybody wants to step up, and everybody's working hard to whatever you want to. For us, it just wins. We just have to build and get better every day because we need the wins.
On the tip goal, is it just simply you see Jordan coming through the middle like that, coming back to the point, and you just see a good chance to rotate where you can get to the front of the net and tip the puck?
Yeah, he kind of took my spot, so I went down there, and luckily it just bounces off my pad. So it was great. He made an unbelievable play.
How much did pace of practice Friday go right into this game? You guys weren't a team down in the dumps. You were high strung in practice. You were moving the puck, and it just seemed like it carried right into today.
Yeah, I feel like everybody's just buying in right now. Everybody really wants to make a push here. You see it off the ice too. Guys are working really hard in the gym, and everybody wants to take the next step. So we just got to continue to build.
How much did it help before the break? You guys had a five-game set where you were 4-1, and now Lindy is breaking the season into five-game intervals, but you've already had one positive one. Does that help now as you just started the next five-game interval with a win?
Yeah, for sure. Last five games.
4-1.
Yeah, that stretch, we kind of find the next level in our game. Guys been more confident with the puck, and we're making more plays coming out of our zone, and we're just managing the puck better. I think that's our good stuff right now.
Thanks, Rasmus. Rasmus Dahlin on the postgame. Pat, back to you.
Thank you, Paul. Rasmus Dahlin with a couple of goals and an assist in the Sabres' victory tonight. Heard him say right there, the team really flying out of the gate here tonight, really aggressive, and you saw that on display early on in the game. Dahlin picking up a goal on a tip on a Jordan Greenway shot, and really that's one thing tonight as well. Sabres taking shots from a lot of different areas, a lot of traffic in front of the net. In one of the Dahlin's goals, he was skating in front, a little bit of a reverse what you would think. Jordan Greenway from the point, Dahlin in front of the net, tipped it in. Another goal, Ryan McLeod scoring a goal where Alex Tuck was cutting across in front, and it was actually the Ranger defenseman who tipped the shot. McLeod picked up his 13th of the season, would later add his 14th of the year as well in the third period, helping the Sabres to their 8-2 victory over the Rangers here tonight. I'm Pat Malacaro on the Sabres post-game show. We'll head back to the locker room in just another moment or two. And here is Ryan McLeod now with Paul Hamilton.
Ryan, what was the key to success early? Was it killing plays and then feeding the offense with speed, or what was it early that made you guys so successful?
I think just keeping it simple. Getting to our game, both teams took 2 weeks off, and I think kind of just the first time we get to their game was gonna come out with that win, and I think we got to it quicker, and it went our way.
How good did you feel after the break? Then you got three practices in, and as Mike was saying earlier, they were high-speed practices. How much did that help to you guys to get off to a good start in this one?
Yeah, they were no joke, those skates. I think it really got us ready for the game. Kind of got all the bad stuff out of our bodies and out of our legs, and I think it showed we came up flying.
You always want to start well, but was it especially a point of emphasis tonight coming out of the break to take control early?
Yeah, I think as a team, we're kind of going into a new segment. We have a big hole we got to climb out of here to have a chance to make the playoffs. And, I think it's a great first game.
You guys lived at the net, and that helped you on your first goal. You got the puck. You got Tuck standing there. Is it just you see him there, let's just get the puck there, see what happens?
Not really used to being at the point with the puck too much. So I just got it there and tried to throw it at the net. And I don't see that he tipped it, but I guess there was the other guy in it. Luckily went in.
What impresses you about Dahlin, the way that he's having a game like this? I know he mentioned to us he's been dealing with a few injuries, and even despite that, he's having a pretty incredible season.
He's one of the best players in the world. Really drives us, offensively and defensively. He gets so many big minutes. Calms us down when maybe we give up a goal or two. He gets the goal when we need one or sets someone up, and just uses his legs so well, and he's so calm back there that I think it kind of goes to our whole team, his calmness. So it's great he's on our side.
I wonder if Shesterkin's ever been pulled by facing the same team twice in a season. You guys did it to him twice. Why have you been able to have so much success against him in those two games?
He's one of the best goalies in the league. I think, before the game, we make a big emphasis on, getting guys and bodies in front of the net and, throwing, weird angle shots in there. And we know it's not going to be easy to score on him. But, luckily we, had a lot of, screens and some tips and, those go in against most goalies.
Ryan, you guys get Jordan Greenway back in the lineup. He makes an impact right as soon as the puck drops. How does it feel to have him back in the game?
Yeah, it's huge. He's a huge piece of this locker room too. It's great having him back. He drives so much of our energy. He's so physical, so loud, and he's always talking on the bench. It's really a huge piece to have back for us.
You played against him, so you knew what went. But can you just, being a teammate of him, see much more of why he's so good and why he's so valuable to a team?
I think he does a lot of things guys don't want to do too. He's on the forecheck, hits a lot. He plays so well defensively. He's a great PKer. Just drives a lot of energy through our group too. And I think he gives us a lot of confidence and his physicality. And when he's out there, he's driving the play a lot. It's huge. I think him coming back, he had a little extra jump in his step, and showed today he was buzzing around, getting a lot of skin on guys, and he was just contagious to our group.
Thank you, Ryan. Ryan McLeod on the postgame. Pat, back to you.
All right, thank you, Paul. Ryan McLeod with a couple of goals tonight, 13th and 14th of the season in his first year with the Sabres. Same for Jason Zucker. Let's head back to the locker room now, and Jordan Greenway is with Paul.
Jordan, you were ready to play. You set a tone right off the bat. You look like a guy who said, I haven't played in a while. I want to go play a hockey game.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was excited today, all week, truthfully. I was fired up. No other way to say it.
Looking for hits early? You seem very engaged early. Were you just looking to do something, I guess?
Yeah, I think, every time I come out here, I'm always trying to find a way to get engaged. Typically for me, it's playing physical, finishing hits. It's the easiest way for me to get into the game. I felt as if I kind of wanted to come out, set the tone. That was the game plan for me.
Some defensemen may not have been able to read what you were going to do. You came out from the wall. You were headed for the right point, and Rasmus recognized it and basically took your spot. He kind of rotated,
Yeah.
And a lot of D maybe might not have done that. Is it just the type of player he is and the star he is that he recognizes it and understands what to do?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's got, a skill set, a mind. He knows how to read a play and I saw him go under the net, and I just kind of tried to, put it in an area where he could, get a stick on it, and that's what he did. It was worked out pretty well.
What was it like just for the entire team to play the first period at that kind of pace? You end up 5-0, and it kind of reflects the pace you were playing at.
Yeah, absolutely. We, all week in practice, as you guys probably saw, we were looking to get up and down the rink a lot, play quick. I think that's a big strength of our game. And, we said, let's go out here, transition quick, get the puck going, don't let them set up, just keep them on their heels all game, especially in the first 10 minutes. Try to run them out of the building. And, we executed it pretty well.
Was it the way you guys killed plays early which led to the offense? Because it seemed like you didn't give up much. You were killing plays and getting up ice quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, turnovers typically, creating turnovers typically is the best way to play fast. And so whether it's in the neutral zone, in our own D zone, trying to kill the play as quick as possible and go the other way allows us to, play quick. And we gave up, 2 shorthanded goals, no 5-on-5 goals, put up 8. It's a pretty complete game, I'd say.
What do you make of the buy-in of the group coming out of the break? You guys are where you are in the standings, but it doesn't seem like anybody's really quitting here.
Oh, absolutely not. No need to. I think one, it speaks volumes to the guys that we have in the room. We're not quitting. No way. Absolutely not. We still got a lot of hockey left. Anything can happen.
Thank you, Jordan. Jordan Greenway in the postgame. Pat, back to you.
Thank you, Paul. Greenway, right off the bat, helping the Sabres eventually pick up the victory. First game back for the team in quite a while. He and Matias Samuelsson as well, both back in the lineup. Both a noticeable presence for Greenway, helping to account for several of the Sabre goals tonight. Samuelsson, a couple of times early in the game, making some good plays in the defensive end that allowed Buffalo to eventually open up that 5-0 lead. So thanks to Greenway for joining our Paul Hamilton there. As you heard from the Sabres, whether it be Rasmus Dahlin, Ryan McLeod, and now Jordan Greenway as well, the aggressiveness and taking care of the puck, creating turnovers, helping create that aggressive play for the Sabres here tonight on their way to an 8-2 victory over the New York Rangers. We'll head back downstairs in just a couple of moments. We expect the thoughts of head coach Lindy Ruff as he'll meet with the media for the first time in postgame in 2 weeks. Don't forget, the league had basically 2 weeks off. The Sabres' last game was 2 weeks ago from today when they lost 6-4 to Nashville. And for the Sabres, they could have entered that two-week break with a lengthy winning streak. Instead, had a little bit of a bitter taste left in their mouth and maybe taking some of those frustrations of 2 weeks out on the Rangers here tonight, a team that really Did not look into the game from the start, as evidenced by not just the 5-0 lead in the opening period, but for the Sabres at one point outshooting New York 16-5 in the first period. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen had to make a couple of big saves throughout the course of the first 30 minutes, let's say. But really, the Sabres doing a good job of managing the puck and the play against the Rangers and really showing on the score sheet and allowing Buffalo to that big advantage and eventually to an 8-2 win. They'll try and carry that over to Tuesday night. That's their next action. They'll take on the Anaheim Ducks here at KeyBank Center as well. And you heard Paul talk to a couple of the players. How often is it that a team is able to force the same goaltender out of the game for the second time of the season? The Sabres did this earlier in the year as well, when Buffalo went to New York in Madison Square Garden earlier in the season, a game for Buffalo in which the Sabres would win 6-1. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen again with a victory for Buffalo in that game. The Sabres scoring 4 goals in the second period as helping them to chase Shesterkin from that game as well. And for Buffalo in that game, Rasmus Dahlin had one of those goals. Tage Thompson, you heard it right when we started post-game tonight, taking the puck to the net, really aggressive towards the net with one of his goals on the game tonight. He and Dahlin each with 3 points. Jason Zucker, 3 points as well. A couple of assists, including on Ryan McLeod's first goal. And then less than a minute later, Rasmus Dahlin capped the first period scoring for the Sabres with his 9th goal of the year, 2 in the opening period for Dahlin, who would add an assist as well on Ryan McLeod's goal. So in the opening period, and talk about the aggressiveness from Rasmus Dahlin, kind of picking up where he left off at the Four Nations faceoff, 3 points in that first period. Thompson with a goal as well. He would add a couple more points throughout the course of the night. And then, as we mentioned, the Rangers made their push in the second period. They had maybe their, no doubt, their best period of the game. As let's head downstairs now for head coach Lindy Ruff.
Annalise, but other than that, did you pretty much see what you wanted from your team?
Yeah, I thought, you know, it started with practice at the beginning of the week. How hard we practiced, how well we practiced, that all paid dividends. I thought we came out well. I thought played a strong game throughout. Obviously, their power play is dangerous and gave them a couple looks, but a real solid 60 minutes.
Practice yesterday, it was as much pace as we've seen all year in any one workout. But how concerned as a coach are you that will it translate to the game? Will there be carryover like there was?
You know, there's been a pretty good track record of, you know, when we've had real good practices about how we play. You know, and I tend to err on the side of really hard versus, you know, backing off. So it was a well-deserved win by our group with the way we played.
I know that Rasmus leads with his voice, but did you really think that he led with the way that he played tonight?
For sure. You know, I thought the Nashville game was probably his best year. I think he got even better tonight, came out better. I think he's fueled a little bit from coming off the Four Nations. But he really did lead the way. He played well. He looked calm out there. He made some great plays. Some of his breakout plays were you know, real special.
Jordan was very engaged from the beginning. Just what stood out to you about him?
Yeah, you know, I think he's been a guy we've missed for sure. I mean, personally couldn't wait to get him back. Just big, strong, physical guy that, you know, can dictate play. So from that standpoint, you know, having him back is a big difference for us.
Colleen admitted it's been a while since he could really shoot the puck. Something that I guess we didn't know. He said now it seems like he can, and we could see the difference maybe tonight.
Yeah, you know, I said he's, you know, he really hasn't been healthy all year. I mean, he's probably the healthiest he's been. He doesn't complain about, you know, much. You don't really know, but I think you could see it in his game for sure.
Have you seen
a little concern with Alex?
Well, you know, I'll have an update. Right now, in my discussion with him, really, I don't feel too concerned, but we'll get more of an update tomorrow and see how he's doing.
What stood out about Jack Quinn this afternoon? I mean,
you guys don't want to ask about Razor?
What stood out about Rob's puck to the head?
He brought up again that you would leave the game, and he's done it twice now. I didn't have to.
Well, I mean, Rob's puck hit him at approximately 15 miles an hour. The one that hit me hit me at 100. And here's the difference. The when the puck hits Rob's head, it breaks. When it hits mine, it just absorbs it a little. That's just even for what he said. I already listened to what he said about me.
But, Jack, he scores the early goal, but even beyond that, he seemed very engaged and creating a lot. Just what did you see?
I think the break was good for him. And the extra practice work was real good for him. You know, and he got rewarded. You know, I think if you look at it, he kind of missed his shot, but still found a hole. But I thought his play, his strength on the puck was better. I thought he got rewarded for doing a lot of good things tonight.
What did Rob say about you? We didn't hear it.
He said it's the difference between Eastern Canadians and Western Canadians. The Western Canadian had to leave the game and he stayed in.
All right, those are the comments of Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff post-game tonight after an 8-2 victory by the Sabres over the Rangers. If you missed it, the joke right there at the end, Rob Ray once again taking a puck to the face in between the benches there, and glad to see that Rob was okay. Maybe a little stitch work between periods, but stayed between the benches, and luckily no worse for the wear. And the Buffalo Sabre Hall of Famer, a gamer in between the benches, no surprise there. So the Sabres pick up the 8-2 victory over the Rangers here tonight. Thanks to Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff for joining us there here on the post game. We're going to take a timeout. For all of you joining us along the network, we're going to say goodnight to you. If you'd like to continue listening to post game and react to the Sabres 8-2 victory over the Rangers tonight, you can do so tuning into the Odyssey app as well. And you can send us your tweets at PatWGR. We'll get connected with the fans in the next segment as well. I'm Pat Melicaro, Sabres 8-2 winners of the Rangers. We'll be back with more next along the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Sabres up the near wall, turned in the middle of the ice, stole it away. Oh, it's behind on the line, cleared again.
Is that Dahlin again?
Rasmus Dahlin again gets in behind Luukkonen.
Rasmus Dahlin helping on the save of the game, which is brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Dahlin doing it on both ends of the ice. A couple of goals, including his 8th and 9th of the season, both of those in the opening period, on his way to a 3-point night and first-star honors. The three stars of the game tonight is Rasmus Dahlin, the first star for the Sabres, Tage Thompson the second, and Ryan McLeod, who had a couple of goals as well, now up to 14 on the year. McLeod was the third star as well. Tage Thompson, 3 points for Buffalo as well. A couple of goals and an assist tonight as we welcome back in Paul Hamilton. Now to the post-game show. Paul, we heard the constant theme is, you know, the aggressiveness of the team tonight. And I liked what Jordan Greenway said. Creating the turnovers, that is one way you can be aggressive. The Sabres played a pretty clean game tonight, creating turnovers and leading to a lot of chances.
Yeah, they did. You know, they gave up the one power play goal to the Rangers. The other one was, I believe it was 5 seconds after the penalty ended. So it was basically a power play goal. And but other than that, that's really the only two blemishes. There wasn't any panic just because the Rangers made a 5-0 game, 5-2. You know, in the third period, Thompson comes down. Yeah, that's a goal that Quick needs to stop. But, you know, credit Thompson. He didn't have a play. I mean, he was coming down the left side. There really was no play. He wasn't going to get around the defense. There was nobody coming. So shoot the puck, especially if you're Tage Thompson. Shoot the puck. And it wasn't a, you know, 106-mile-an-hour Tage Thompson shot, but it did the job. You know, it made it through Quick. And now you get that sixth goal, and they went from there and got the seventh and eighth goal once that was in the net. So, you know, they never really were in trouble. We talked about this earlier. I was more impressed with the defensive effort to start with because it was leading to turnovers. It was leading to quick transition and speed up the ice, and then they were taking advantage of their opportunities. As I mentioned to you, I would be shocked if Shesterkin was pulled twice against the same team in 1 year. That I would guess that might be the first time that's happened. Because he's such a good goalie, and he very rarely gets pulled. And he got pulled in Madison Square Garden against the Sabres, and he got pulled here against the Sabres. And it's almost shocking, you know, that would happen with a goaltender like that. yes, he is coming off an injury here, but, you know, he had the whole break to heal up, and he felt he was ready to go. So he went in net, and let's face it, too, I'm not going to sit here and blame him for this game. I mean, nobody was good for the New York Rangers. They were, you know, not good in front of them. And, you know, and it just, you know, you look back. He did win the game here in Buffalo, but coming in the two games against the Sabres, he had a 4.51 goals against and an .837 save percentage and seven goals against. Now, most of those came in that first game, you know, when he got pulled. But he added to it with the performance here. So those numbers are going to be really bad against the Buffalo Sabres right now in this one. And you just never see that with Shesterkin. And I would be venture to say I'd be surprised if that's ever happened to him before, where the same team in one season has chased him twice.
And it helps the Sabres pick up an 8-2 victory over the Rangers. Shesterkin giving up five goals in the opening period. Paul, we're watching some of the highlights on the broadcast right now. And one thing that sticks out to me, it's something that was talked about post-game as well, just getting the puck to the net. There was so much traffic in front, whether it's Dahlin on the tip on the Greenway shot, Alex Tuch creating the opportunity on it's tipped by a Ranger player on the McLeod goal, but a lot of times tonight, Thompson just throwing the puck to the net. You never know what's going to happen, and good things happened for the Sabres when they sent the puck to the net today.
And a lot of messages were received. Notice the Sabres were living around the net today. Mm-hmm. It wasn't any perimeter play. Guys were around the net, and it got them two goals. I mean, Tuch, you know, screens the goaltender for the McLeod goal, and Dahlin's going to the net to tip in on a great play by Greenway. So, you know, they had guys at the net. You know, Thompson attacks the net on the third goal and just brings it out and bowls his way there. I mean, it was nice to see so many players around the net. Some of them didn't result in goals, but still they were there. They were competing. There was a shift. I was just about to write it on Twitter, and then Dahlin scored. Gilbert had a big hit. He won a battle easily in the corner, and then he blocked a shot. That's the kind of stuff that, you know, you maybe don't notice, but I mean, the teammates notice that, you know, how hard he's out there working to kill plays and to do that. The Sabres were in every scrum. I mean, they were right there with each other, and you didn't see really any fights, but that just show up. Show up for your teammates, and they did every time. You know, guys were there. To now, I hope anybody doesn't think that, you know, somebody should have gone after Miller on the Tuch play. Miller pushed Tuch from the front, and he hardly pushed him. It just seemed like a weird play, you know, that, you know, Tuch got injured on. It wasn't like he pasted him into the boards or anything like that. He basically just kind of pushed him out of the way. I would not expect people to show up and challenge Miller on that. You know, and it sounds like Tuch might be okay. Lindy really didn't know for sure, but he didn't sound extremely concerned about it right now. But that certainly is not an injury when, you know, the Sabres are trying to get themselves back into something and need to pull almost the impossible. That's one guy that you don't want hurt because he's a big part of the team.
Yeah, and in just a couple of minutes span, Jason Zucker took a shot off the right leg. He went down the tunnel. He would come back eventually later in the game. And then you're right, Tuch, I don't know if it's his back or the way that Miller kind of bumped into him kind of gets him in the chest, so maybe wind knocked out him or something like that. But definitely an awkward play. And what could have been, you know, very disastrous for the Sabres, hopefully as we look at our injury report brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus. You know, potentially some really good news and maybe no time missed for either player come Tuesday.
Well, Zucker came back, actually got an assist right away when he came back. Anybody that's played hockey knows exactly what he did. He got hit, and it looks like you've been shot. And what you do is you limp off the ice, you crawl off the ice like he did, and then you walk it off. And it takes about 5 minutes or so to walk up and down the hallway and walk it off, but eventually you do. In some cases, you don't want to take that skate off, even if you're in between periods, because it'll balloon up on you and you'll never get the skate back on. But usually you can walk that off, and that's, I'm sure, what he did. And he came back and immediately got the assist on the McLeod goal. And what a goal that was. I mean, McLeod is a step on you. You're not catching him. And he just took off like he was shot out of a cannon. But that was Zucker coming through the neutral zone that got that pass up to him and sprung him in on quick. So Zucker, winds up with three assists in this game. I notice on the second Thompson goal, it was originally a Dahlin assist. Now it's a Kulik assist. So Dahlin no longer has 4 points in this game. I don't care how many points he had. That, as far as I'm concerned, was the best game I've ever seen Dahlin play in a Sabre uniform. From defense, he was killing plays. He was fast. He was tough. He was, hitting people. He was winning battles. He got behind Lukanen on a puck that looked like it was going into the net, swept it out of there, had 2 goals and an assist, had a 3-point game. And he talked about it, something we didn't know. He wasn't able to shoot the puck. He had an injury that didn't allow him to shoot the puck, but, he wanted to be there and compete with his teammates, and that's why he hadn't scored a goal since November 23rd until the Nashville game. Since the Nashville game, if you add in the last Sweden game, he scored in the last game with Sweden too. So that's a goal against Nashville, a goal in the last Sweden game, and then 2 goals in this game. So obviously he can now shoot the puck. He's feeling better.
And he helps the Sabres out to an 8-2 victory over the Rangers tonight. He's Paul Hamilton. I'm Pat Malacaro on the Sabres postgame show. And the little subtle plays throughout the game tonight, Paul, that I thought showed signs of confidence for the Sabres. And one of those, it might not result in anything, but I don't remember which defenseman. It could have been Dahlin. It could have been somebody else. But they noticed that Ryan McLeod had a step on the defenseman. Instead of trying to hit him with the pass in stride, they simply just sent the puck down the ice. They knew that McLeod, with his speed, was going to beat out an icing play. And I thought that was just a subtle little play. It's not a play that, in the grand scheme of things, results in anything, but a sign that the team is locked in. And you notice when guys maybe have a step, it can create some offense. You don't have to hit a pass in stride. Just send the puck down the ice, see what the offense can do. McLeod beats the man to the puck, waves off the icing, and the play continues. So little subtle plays in the game, I thought, really showed the team was connected today.
And I saw them do the same thing with Peterka, so that would make 2 times that they did that, because he did this. He was, again, had the step, and how fast Peterka can go. Not as fast as McLeod, but he's fast. So they had 2 different times where they knew they could do that, knowing the Sabre was ahead and icing would not be called.
So Sabres with the victory tonight. And so, Paul, let's end on this. They get the Anaheim Ducks here on Tuesday, 7 o'clock faceoff along the network. Important 2 points tonight. We talked about it a lot today. These 5-game segments, you've picked up 2 points today, a chance to get 2 more points on Tuesday. Replicating this effort will be maybe the theme of these next couple of days.
Absolutely. I mean, these are the types of effort they need. Basically, the way Lindy Ruff outlined it, 7 points out of 10, you can afford 1 loss, and that's it. I mean, you're looking at, to get 7 points, you're looking at 3-1-1 on every 5-game segment. And that gets you, to the goal that you're looking for, which is 7 points out of 10. So it's a good effort to get started. You get the win. You got 2 of those points now. You need 5 more as you get into this 5-game segment. And a lot of people say, yeah, but do you kind of pick and choose the teams you want to beat? I don't think Lindy Ruff even cares. It's like, yeah, you love to beat teams in your division that you're fighting with, but right now they need points, and they need 7 points out of 10. However they get them, they'll get them. And then at the end, you look where you are and see what happens.
And it'll be Tuesday night. The Sabres will be back at it trying to get 2 more points. Paul, thanks for your work all throughout the course of today's broadcast. Look forward to catching up with you on Tuesday night.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, that's Paul Hamilton. I'm Pat Malacaro. The Sabres pick up the victory over the Rangers today. And we want to remind you that your drive home from the game is brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet. Kick off 2025 with a new Chevy from Paddock. So Sabres will be back on home ice on Tuesday night. They'll take on the Ducks. Anaheim in action today as well. Their game ongoing. We'll have a look at those scores in just a moment. Sabres, a couple more games here in the month of February. Tuesday night against the Ducks, then they'll be in Carolina on Thursday, a team and a building that the Sabres historically have had a lot of trouble with, especially under the current Carolina Hurricane team that is perennially a playoff team in the Metropolitan Division. And then the Sabres with a back-to-back against the Montreal Canadiens a week from tonight here at KeyBank Center, a 7 o'clock faceoff, followed by 2 days later at the Bell Center against the Canadiens. And then Buffalo, with a back-to-back, actually, will take on San Jose on March the 4th, and then a road trip down to Florida. So a jam-packed schedule over these final 20, now seven games left in the regular season after the Sabres pick up the win 8-2 here today against the New York Rangers. An emphatic victory for Buffalo in this one tonight. Let's take a look at the scores from around the league now, and we'll tell you what it means for the standings as well as we take a look at our scores from the game. Scores from around the league, which are brought to you by Figo, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. Welcome back in, Jonathan Colzio, one more time. Hi, Jonathan.
Thank you, Pat. We'll get going on the games currently in progress in Boston. The Ducks, as Pat mentioned, are in action there in Boston, leading the Bruins 2-1 after two periods. Also after two in Toronto, the Maple Leafs all over the Hurricanes 4-0 there. John Tavares with his 22nd of the year in that one. Canadiens over the Senators up in Ottawa 5-2. That one just finishing the second period, just starting the third in Columbus. Columbus Blue Jackets taking the 3-1 lead into the third period over the Blackhawks. After two in St. Louis, the Jets holding a 2-1 lead over the Blues. Coming up at 9 o'clock, the Kings hosting the Utah Hockey Club. And at 10 o'clock out in Las Vegas, it's the Golden Knights and Canucks. Finals from earlier, the Wild take care of the Red Wings in overtime 4-3. The Flyers 6-3 winners over the Oilers in Philadelphia. And the Capitals all over the Penguins 8-3 in Pittsburgh. To Rochester, they win in a shootout 1-0, a close one. Katsahelenius getting the lone goal in the shootout, and Devin Levi with 30-save shutout in the victory. And to college local hockey, Kenesha is currently up 2-1 over Niagara. That one is just starting the third period. Pat, over to you.
Thanks, Jonathan. A lot of exciting college hockey action, as that's the last game of the regular season for both Canisius and Niagara. Niagara actually clinching a bye in the first round of the Atlantic Hockey America Tournament, while Canisius will be playing across the street in the one-game first round, an opponent yet to be determined next weekend as well. So a lot of great local hockey. We know the PWHL will be here tomorrow, thanks to Alex Carpenter for joining us pregame today. That exciting for local hockey fans, and something I talked with Alex about, you know, for the opportunity for young women, young girls to now women's hockey and girls hockey has become a lot more popular and a lot more opportunities, and it's great to see the game growing for all ages in all male and females as well to really enjoy such a great game.
Yeah, I think back to the last Olympics, the women's hockey tournament was awesome. Awesome action. And obviously the U.S. team has done well on the women's side for a while now. And going back to the Buttes here, you know, unfortunately that league folded. And we had talked about it off air in the pregame. You know, they started a new league back, and unfortunately some of the mid-level smaller markets didn't get teams in this new league. But who knows if, you know, the action is taken in by the public. You know, maybe expansion comes back to Buffalo. But it'll be cool to see, you know, some of the women's finest in hockey playing here tomorrow.
Yeah, we talk about the international best-on-best of the Four Nations face-off and how much fun that was. But, you know, I think back to, I believe, 98 in Nagano was the first time that women's hockey was on the Olympic program. U.S. and Canada have battled it out, whether it be World Championships, the Olympics. They're always 1-2. USA won in 98. Camry Granato and a lot, A.J. Maleska and a lot of those people that we have come to know in terms of women's hockey, some of the greats, and that rivalry has just been there the entire time, and it's always coming to the forefront in the Olympics.
Yeah, and for how much the U.S.-Canada men's rivalry has come up, obviously, with the Four Nations recently, in the women's leagues or tournaments for the Olympics or the World Championships, it's always been U.S. and Canada. Like,
there's bad blood there.
You also hate, you don't say that the other countries are not good, but U.S. and Canada is levels above the other countries in women's hockey. And now we're Sweden, Finland, Russia, Czechia, all those teams
continue to
get better in the men's brackets, divisions, you know, in the tournaments, in the world tournaments. It's U.S. and Canada in the women's leagues, and it is incredible action. And, you know, I think most of our audience probably watched that last Olympics and how great that was. And, you know, it's cool to see. And we had said best on best, you know, these women's professional leagues are essentially that, you know? It's a smaller league. The people that are professionals, all the women that are professionals...
Playing
the Olympics internationally, the World Championships, and they're in this league. Because it's really one of...
The PWHL will be here tomorrow as part of the takeover tour. The New York Sirens and the Boston Fleet. Hillary Knight, the captain of the Fleet, she was on the TV side. I know there was, with Alex Carpenter as well, there was an autograph session for the youngsters here in the building tonight. This morning, each team had two-hour practices over at the Harbor Center, and those were well attended. There was fan meet and greets following that as well. So again, you know, growing the game and showing that there are possibilities. If you're a young kid now, there's high school programs that maybe weren't there 10 years ago. There's certainly college programs that scholarships are out there that if you continue to play and continue to grow the game, there'll be even more opportunities by the time you're at that age.
Yeah, it's great to see. And for a market like Buffalo that has always had a hockey fanaticism, you know, as far as, you know, the younger players in the area, you know, it's cool to see. And now that the girls and the women get the chance to, as Alex mentioned in our pregame, you know, before it was like you try and get into college, and now they have something to look for from playing at a children's level to juniors to high school to college, and now like thinking they can make a career out of it. That's really cool to see.
So that'll be here tomorrow. And thanks, Jonathan, for all your work tonight.
You got it.
As the Sabres pick up the 8-2 victory over the Rangers here tonight. The Sabres now with 51 points in the year, 55 games played. So with 82 games on the schedule, the Sabres have plenty to go. And this five-game segment trying to continue to pick up victories. They'll host the Ducks on Tuesday night. 51 points for the Sabres. The Rangers stay at 58, 4 points back of both Ottawa and Detroit. Those two teams sitting in the wild card spots in the Eastern Conference. And for the Rangers, if you're looking at the Metropolitan Division, they have 10 points to go just to catch the Devils, so closest to the wild card spots. For the Ducks out west, they currently have 54 points, so through 54 games played, and they're in action in Boston right now. They'll be at the same amount of games played against the Sabres, have three more points than Buffalo, potentially entering Tuesday night at that. So there'll be a 6 o'clock pregame that night for the Sabres and the Ducks. Brian Kozy will be back with you for the intermissions and postgame as well on that one. Before we wrap things up tonight, let's get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon one more time. Get to your local Verizon store today. Tom from West Seneca checking in and just reiterating what we've heard a lot tonight in terms of Tage Thompson, Rasmus Dahlin, even Jason Zucker, the usual suspects, if you will, coming through for Buffalo and hoping to see more of that over these final two-plus months of the season. For Zucker, 26 assists. You talk about the acquisitions by Kevin Adams this past offseason, right at the top of the list of making the biggest impact for Buffalo. Jason Zucker is right there. We know Ryan McLeod in a trade with Edmonton. Matt Savoy, a former first-round pick by the Sabres, traded to the Oilers. Still a highly regarded prospect who would, through his time in the Sabre organization, still through the junior ranks, now playing in the AHL for the Oilers AHL affiliate, but he is up with Edmonton now, potentially make an impact there. But here in Buffalo, Ryan McLeod making an impact for the Sabres this year with 14 goals, with a couple of tonight as well. Multi-point games for McLeod, Zucker, Thompson, Dahlin, and again, Alex Tuck. Doesn't have the goal on McLeod's first of the night, but helping create that offense there and creating the screen in front that resulted in the tip off the Ranger player and one of the Sabres' 8 goals tonight in their 8-2 victory over the Rangers. Thanks to Tom from West Seneca for helping us get connected, again powered by Verizon. So the Sabres and Ducks will meet on Tuesday night. That's a 7 o'clock faceoff right here along the network. Mike Shope and the Bulldog will have pregame coverage starting at 6 on WGR. Brian Kozio will be back with us as he will be taking you through the intermissions and postgame as well as the busy schedule for the Sabres continues to ramp up out of the Four Nations faceoff two-week break. That'll do it for us here for tonight from KeyBank Center. For everybody in our broadcast crew, including our announcers Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, our reporter Paul Hamilton, also for Jonathan Kozio for his work here with us tonight, our engineer Tom Maddy, and also TJ Luckman, our network producer as well. I'm Pat Malacaro. We'll talk to you next time on Tuesday night as the Sabres host the Anaheim Ducks right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Have a great night, everyone.